Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
All right, here we go. Trying to get settled here on a Wednesday afternoon. It's pretty nice out there, Sue. Do you agree? It's not that humid. It's a bearable.
Disgusting out there.
I didn't think it was that bad. Wait a second. You think it's way hot out there?
Yes, but I was out the yard and trying to fix things and running around. I thought it was hot.
Well, when I first let the dog out this morning, I'm like, oh, there's a little chill in the air. I felt a little chill in the air. And then went out. Yeah, I didn't. It was like 60 in the low 60s. Do you live in a different country right now?
I get up really early, and I thought, if I can still wear this, then it's not cold. It still feels underlying warm.
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, we're still, I think, around 92 or something like that when we're going to record the high temperature. I just think, you know, it's less of a dew point in humidity. But I'll go by you if you've been outside, because I have not been outside that much today. I let the dog out a couple of times, and that was it. We took him to the vet this morning. I've never heard of this before. So you guys tell me if you've heard of this before. Ethan, I can't remember. You have a dog or not?
But back at home, my family does, but I don't personally
now. You've been around dogs.
Yes.
So we take him to daycare at No Leash Needed, and it's great because he works out all his energy. And then they send me a picture a couple of days ago, and they say he's got a puppy wart, like on the inside of his lip. And apparently these things are contagious. Have you ever heard of that? Like a puppy wart?
Nope.
Okay, me neither. But it's real. So I took him to the vet this morning. He weighed in at 42 pounds. He was 37, like 4 weeks ago, so
he's
getting up there. But she called it crushing it, actually. It just looked like this white little dot inside of his mouth, like next to his teeth, on his gum line, if you will. And apparently this is something like if the dogs, you know, drink from the same water bowl or something like that, it's contagious. I had never heard of it before, and I've had dogs my whole life, so I was not familiar with that at all. Sue's doing the show from at her residence this afternoon, so you don't need the blanket here in the studio. I don't even know, Fred, I'll be honest with you, I'm not even sure where to start here, because there's so much stuff that we have, and there's so many things that keep happening, and the reaction on the part of the legacy media and Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, there are people out there. I really do. And I think the listeners know this, and you guys know me pretty well. I try to look at these stories from a variety of angles and different lenses, because I know that I'm prone to see things through my lens. We all are, right? That's just kind of human nature. But how anyone could listen to the information from the last couple of days, really the last week. I mean, we kind of knew the motive for the shooter a week ago today when we were reporting on all of this. It was unfolding this very hour, you know, 1 week ago today. Oh, then there's questions. Oh, it looks like his family is mad. MAGA. They're all Republicans. There's never been anyone in any American family who has broken away from the mainstream members of their family and had political differences, right? That's never happened. So he's instantly tagged with being, you know, someone that's on the right and not the left. And, you know, both sides have to dig in. Look, I'd like the truth to come out. And I think a fair amount of the truth has come out already. This guy was a radicalized lefty who was involved with someone who was trans and a furry, by the way. Are you familiar with furries?
Well, I watched a CSI episode years ago that had a furry convention on it, so I kind of get it. You dress up in the costumes, the okay. animal costumes.
So this is like a real thing. And Fred, I sent you this piece by Kara Dansky. Kara Dansky does something called the Turf Report for Substack. And, you know, I'm a big fan of I'm a big fan of the Free Press and Substack. And Turf, of course, is what J.K. Rowling is. Yeah, I think some people accept the moniker and say, hey, this is who I proudly am. And other people use it maybe in a derogatory way. But it's trans exclusionary radical feminist. That's what, you know, Turf stands for. So Kara writes this piece in Substack. And this is from today. She says this should probably be labeled not safe for work, although the information here is all public domain. First, if you're interested in some great commentary about the state of things today, she kind of guides people into a couple of different pieces that are on Substack. And then I have to play this because she points this out. And this is really, really interesting because there have been things that have happened on Capitol Hill that are, you know, somewhat baffling. Ted Cruz got into it with Caitlin Collins, and that was fascinating as well. What is the, Fred, I should know this, and I know you're going to say it's just Maisie, but what is, oh, here it is. This is Kash Patel with Maisie Hirano. All right, so Maisie Hirano is one of the most annoying members of the United States Senate. She's from Hawaii, and she's always one of those people that when they do hearings or judicial confirmations, just makes me want to throw up in my mouth just a little bit. But this is fascinating. Listen to what she said to Kash Patel yesterday, and then we'll come back and see how many people kind of notice this.
You are now requiring applicants to be able to do a certain kind of pull-ups, which a lot of women cannot because of physiological differences.
Hang on. Women can't do them because of physiological differences. What are you talking about? That is transphobic as all get out, Maisie Hirano. How dare you point out the differences between biological men and biological women, especially because you were one that voted against the Protection of Women in Sports Act, which passed earlier and was sent to the president, and he signed that bill in front of all those kids that day. So that I found that very interesting, right? And a lot of people are pointing that out. So back to the column here, Kara's column in Substack. This is someone who's on the political left. She goes, as regular readers know, I am on the political left. I consider myself to be ideologically left of the Democratic Party, but I've always been a registered Democrat, except for a few years I was registered Green. I'm TERF, hence the TERF report, because that's what her Substack's called. Most of my friends are more mainstream lefties, though that has changed over the past 10 years or so. So when I refer to my lefty friends, I'm doing so with affection. There are some things we on the left need to talk about. And she says, typically when I put a lot of work into a post, I put part of it behind a paywall because Substack essentially is my sole source of income. Today, I am making an exception because I think it's time for the mainstream left to know about furries. I think it's time for the mainstream right to know about furries because I don't know much about them either. And she says, this post about furries is being sent to all subscribers of Substack. It's free. It's shareable. Charlie Kirk has been murdered, and it is being reported that the suspect was in a known relationship with a man who identifies as trans and a furry. TERFs, I can't believe I'm saying this on the radio right now, right? TERFs have known about furries for a long time, but it has been very hard to talk with our lefty friends and family members about the topic because we're aware that when we do so, we sound crazy. But we're not the crazy ones here. Furry is a thing, and it's time for the mainstream left to talk about it. People tend to form opinions based on what they hear in the media. Most people on the political left probably consume a lot of the New York Times, the Washington Post, MSNBC. These people will likely have not heard of furries and violence, or furries generally, and probably have no idea that the man who allegedly killed Charlie Kirk was in a relationship with a man who calls himself trans and a furry. Now, I didn't know the furry angle until reading this. Apparently, it's there. So she says, I spent a fair amount of time chatting with my friends, conservative and liberal, this week about how if I were going to start explaining the phenomenon of furries to my lefty friends, they'll think I'm nuts. But we have to be able to talk about this stuff, not because it's particularly fun to do, but because it's real and it needs to be dealt with. So she even says, I understand the tendency of people on the left to dismiss this stuff as fringe right conspiracy theories. I promise you it's not. All you have to do is Google it. So with that in mind, if you Google it, she points out that there are people out there that say furry culture has grown from an obscure subculture into a recognizable global phenomenon. Whether misunderstood or celebrated, the world of furries is rich in creativity and connection and self-expression. So essentially, it's and she kind of goes through, there's a post out there, of, Sue, in case you're interested, some tips to get started. If you're curious about furry fetishism, here's tips. Develop your fursona. A fursona is your alter ego within the furry world. Consider what animal best represents you or excites you. Are you playful like a fox, Sue? Are you loyal like a dog? Or are you mysterious like a panther? You decide that, and then you find your community. Furry communities are welcoming spaces where people share tips, costumes, and experiences. So basically, in this is what, you know, she says in the column, the gist is that it's a fetish involving being sexually aroused at the idea of being an animal. And she says that it's not dissimilar from something called AGP, which is autogenophilia, which is a fetish in which a man is sexually aroused at the thought of himself as a woman. And she points out in the column that, you know, this is not being hidden either. There's a publication called Redux, feminist publication, that has published story after story about men with this fetish being allowed to participate in women's sports and being held in women's prisons and vulnerable women. This is something that J.K. Rowling goes, you know, on about quite a bit. She says, believe me, I don't particularly want to know about any of this stuff either, but here we are. And she goes back into some of the history because apparently, even in 2014, Vox, which is an online magazine, ran an article that said 9 questions about furries you were too embarrassed to ask. I've heard about furries over the years. I've even heard some of this stuff slips into elementary schools with some of these kids. But it's nuts. And she goes on and on and on. And basically, you know, I think the end here is, she says, what does this have to do with the killing of Charlie Kirk? The suspect in the case is a man named Tyler Robinson, I don't like to mention the name, who lived with a man, Lance Twiggs, who calls himself both a furry and trans. The phrase, notices bulge, O-W-O, what's this, was etched into a spent casing from the fatal shot. O-W-O, or I guess it could be 0-W-0, I think it's O-W-O, but the way she describes it is, it's an emoji of a face with the O's as the eyes and the W as a mouth or nose. It's associated with furry culture. Another casing was etched with, we've heard this, hey, fascist catch, right? Now, she says that, you know, this is stuff that the furry group itself is saying that there's a high correlation between trans and furry. And the group is overtly saying it wants to decrease stigma regarding a fetish for becoming sexually aroused at the thought of oneself as an animal. I mean, this is just crazy. And, you know, then she lists all the stuff that we found out yesterday in the text message exchange. So you have everything from that reporting to the ABC reporter yesterday being very romantic in his description of the suspect in his first court appearance. It was just absolutely bizarre. He's made an apology. I'll have some of that here this afternoon. But I did want to educate you on furries because I read that this afternoon. I thought, my God, what in the world? Where are we with some of this stuff, right? I mean, if you don't think a mental illness is part of the equation here, I don't really know how to guide you any further. Brian Kilmeade is coming up here this afternoon in just a couple of minutes. We're going to talk with, who else we got here? Oh, I know we have Eric Schmidt this afternoon, Senator Schmidt, who, you know, I think he's been very emotional about some of this stuff, and he hasn't done any local media. We'll have Steve Koonin from Stanford's Hoover Institution about some climate stuff this afternoon. One of my favorite political insiders, Josh Krausauer, at 5:32. We're off and running here for a Wednesday afternoon edition of the Mark Reardon Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Show.
We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it.
I mean, that's Jimmy Kimmel, who should know better, especially after yesterday. But this narrative from the left that it's, you know, it's someone is to the right of MAGA. That's who this kid is right now. It continues, and it's just baffling to me. And I guess they get away with it because, you know, Kimmel's out there saying it. They spread it on MSNBC. Brian Kilmeade is back with us, the co-host of Fox and Friends. You hear him every morning here on 97.1 FM Talk. How about the effort there, Brian, to still keep the narrative the way they started it last week, even when presented with ample information that that's not someone who was to the right of MAGA or, you know, blew Charlie Kirk's head nearly off because he wasn't conservative enough?
Well, I mean, this is why when you go up to people that maybe you don't hang out with mostly, or you go to you meet a group of people and they say things like, oh, you know, Trump was in bed with Russia. That's how he won the first election. Or we all know that Hunter Biden, that wasn't Hunter Biden's laptop. And you go, what are you talking about? It's obviously his laptop. And they just go, what do you mean? It's not his laptop. So they really don't know what you're talking about. So there's going to be people now. I think Jimmy Kimmel knows better. Jimmy Kimmel knows better, but he knows that his audience is not going to flip and go anywhere else. They're going to listen to him, and they're going to go on ABC News. And they're not going to – maybe some of them are going to go, yeah, this guy was just a – I'm from a conservative family and didn't like Charlie Kirk. Really? Because he was gay? You know, that they're going to come up with another scenario. These MAGA people trying desperately to look like it's not one of them. Number one, what's them? You mean a conservative? So not one of them. He's not one of them. Do an ounce of research and you know it. My fear is, Mark, that they're not going to do an ounce of research. Jimmy Kimmel will be their news source. Even though we only get to like a 1-4, which is pathetic for a national network show, a 1-4, that's barely breaking a million people. I think, you know, Fox does that at 9 a.m. So Actually, we do better than that on Fox and Friends. But people are just going to watch that. That's their late night show. They go, yeah, but he definitely is not. He definitely was a conservative shooter. Just like they say that the guy that burned down the governor's mansion in Pennsylvania, well, that's a Democrat. They went after him, too. Well, no. That was a anti-Semitic, pro-Palestinian lunatic.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
That tried to kill the Jewish governor, not the Democratic governor.
Look, I have Senator Schmitz coming on with me here in about an hour, Brian. And he had a great rant yesterday with Kash Patel at a hearing talking about and just listing off, list, you know, topic after topic, incident after incident. Have there been examples of right-wing extremism? Of course there have, right? But, I mean, there's a pattern that has developed here that the legacy, I could not believe, you know, I don't know if you saw the exchange with Senator Cruz and Caitlin Collins on CNN, but they're insisting like they're covering this as if there's some mystery still to what the motivation was, even after seeing the text messages read yesterday at that news conference. So I feel like I'm missing something here, Brian. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, I mean, we're still looking for the motive. I'll give you the motive. The motive is, and I'm doing the five tonight, so that is our A block. So let's see if I have the motive. Robinson asked his partner if he had done it. The partner asked Robinson if he'd done it. I had enough of his hatred. Some hate can't be negotiated. So there you go. He had enough of his hatred. Why'd you do it? He had enough of his hatred. Some hate can't be negotiated. Did he do it? I had the opportunity to take out Charlie Kirk, and I'm going to take it. The partner reacted with shock, asking if he was joking. You weren't the one who did it, right? The partner said, I am. I'm sorry, said Robinson. What is the motive? I had enough of his hatred. Some hate can't be negotiated. So I like Caitlin Collins. I've met her when she was at the Daily Caller. I think she does fine. But that's an example of I'm not going to get the answer. I mean, she's too smart not to know this. Sometimes you miss a story. You know, a lot of times you'll say stuff to me, you know, like, and the premise, I'll go, well, that's new to me. You know, it doesn't mean I'm lazy or dumb. I missed it. But you can't miss that. That's not something you miss. You watch that 45-minute press conference, and she's the Washington correspondent. So you're not like, well, I just host my show. I missed it during the day. You know, I'm dropping my kids off. I'm coaching softball. No, you're at Washington. You're at the White House all day.
Yeah, I'm baffled by it. I really am. Now, did you have any other takeaways from what we learned yesterday? You know, there's some things that are still confusing to me. For example, and I understand and I hope that this is true, that the roommate is cooperating and, you know, all this stuff has been handed over to the authorities. But then when the shooter says something about the casings being etched, wouldn't he have some questions about that? Wouldn't the natural question be, hey, what are you doing with those bullets, right?
Right. Unless you have a bullet room where you just keep bullets and you work alone, whittling bullet casings. So he says, laments the fact that he only shot one time and those other bullets are in the gun. They're going to notice the other bullets in the chamber and I'm really going to get screwed. Right? They're going to really make the most of that. And I'm going to get trouble from my father because I have lost my grandfather's gun. Not I'm going to prison and getting the death penalty. Don't tell me this guy is grounded in anything close to reality.
Yeah, no, there's a big disconnect, right? Yeah.
Let's say you and I have a temper. You and I have a temper. We know that if we do something, whether it's a bad marriage or a bad relationship or you hate your boss, if we do something severe, you know what my image is? Is it worth spending the rest of my life in prison? And that's the consequences that keeps our listeners in line and you and I in line. This guy that went for the president in Butler, the guy that went for the president at his golf club, mm-hmm. and this guy that killed Charlie Kirk has no sense of the consequences. Or they fundamentally believe they're martyrs, but they don't. These are not hardened people. You're not getting a gang member that's been arrested 14 times, like that mutant that killed that woman that Ukrainian woman in Charlotte. You're getting a guy that probably never had a hard day of work in his life. He is now in solitary or for his own protection in leg irons in prison. I mean, do you think for a second if he could image that he would have done it? I don't think so. But he's not in the real world. Yet he had a near perfect score on his college board.
Right. Yeah. Good grades.
And he could have went to any college.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is baffling, especially that part where he seemed to indicate that he thought unless I'm misinterpreting this, if he had somehow gotten away with the gun that they would not have discovered him, that all the text messages that he's sending wouldn't have eventually been tracked. But he seemed to be under the impression that he could have kept this a secret somehow if they didn't have the gun, the weapons, and the fingerprints.
Right. He said, if it wasn't for that, if they didn't get the gun, they wouldn't have got me. What about the video? Do you not think in a school like that, there's no motion detected video that goes on when people walk by? I'm sure he scouted the place. At some point he had to be in that building. It's hard to believe that someone would snipe that far and show up one day. But I guess he does know the school. He drives a few hours, shows up. He goes right up that staircase, has a change of clothes, goes in there. They were able to see his knee prints, his footprints, his Converse shoe prints. He grabs the banister on the way down. There's full video. And because of the videos out, his parents see him. And his parents see him and think, well, the gun did me in. Well, the gun didn't help. And they did find it immediately. How did they do it? Because they had you on video. They knew where you were walking. So they followed your footsteps.
Yeah, how he wouldn't know that is, there's a lot of things here maybe we'll never find out. What is your opinion? I got some mixed feelings here on the people, and there are a lot of them, who are being fired right now for saying stupid stuff online. Now, I would make the distinction, I believe, between the barista at Starbucks and someone who runs, you know, a college or is a professor somewhere or a teacher or a, you know, EMT or something like that. There have been plenty of those people weighing in, cheering on death. But thoughts on that, because now the right's being accused of cancel culture.
Well, I don't know if the right is being accused, because I don't think anyone's, I don't know if people are calling for people to be fired. Maybe there is a few people. But this is, for example, I interviewed the nurse that went up to the doctor,
right,
who was celebrating that Charlie Kirk said, because you're a doctor and you're celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk? And he left. And he goes, yeah, of course, he's a bad guy, and whatever he had to say. So she didn't stop. And they suspended them both. She did our show, got a lawyer.
Yeah, I
and
saw it.
They told her, by the way, don't expect to come back. So when people say she was going to get hired back, that's a lie. So don't expect to come back. And they quickly reversed it. So no one called for her to fire. She wanted to get her job back. If that guy got fired, it's his fault. You know, I guess you can go case by case. For example, the Texas State kid that walked into a Charlie Kirk vigil and started kicking down the American flag and mocking the way he was shot in the neck. If he gets suspended from school, if the other woman says some whitey got assassinated, what is the big deal screaming that they arrested her? Is that cancel culture? Or is that people on the campus
there's consequences. So. There's no doubt. Absolutely. All right, what's coming up on Sunday? You got any of that planned yet?
Yeah, we're going to go live, a lot of it. We have a couple of things that we're working on. We're still putting it together. I'm going to wait probably till Friday morning, because we're going to go live on Sunday. And I just got to see, because the Charlie Kirk Memorial is Sunday.
Right.
It's going to go about 4 hours. We're going to get people pouring out of there. So I got to figure out what I'm going to do and if I'm going to do more than one subject. So if I do, I think it's a national. You tell me. I think it's a national story, this Mamdani thing, and the fact that he's still got a 20-point lead, and that no Republican, no Democratic leader up until the Democratic governor endorsed him, has really endorsed him. So I'm thinking about doing that and seeing that as a national story. And I'm just I'm probably going to go Charlie Kirk-centric.
Yep.
You know, he's been on our Sunday show 5 times alone. And, you know, I've done 3 of his events. I've been asked to speak at 3 of his events. My first one was 2018. We've been in touch ever since. So I couldn't have been more impressed with who he was and couldn't be more horrified about the way he died.
Yeah. One Nation with Brian Kilmeade, Sunday nights, 9 p.m. here in St. Louis. Brian, have a great week.
Go get him, Mark.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's being
behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Of all the things I can't believe that I'm talking about a week after this assassination is still legacy media folks like Caitlin Collins and others questioning about whether we have a motive.
We don't have a motive yet. We don't know yet. We're waiting. Obviously, we've heard what the governor's had to say, what the FBI director said today.
Of course we know. Come on, we don't have a motive yet.
We know.
We don't have a motive yet.
What's
really?
Happening with...
Really? That's CNN's position?
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, the audio was a little hinky-jinky there, but Ted got into it, Senator Cruz, with Caitlin Collins last night, and I have some good audio from Scott Jennings as well, because the CNN panel did the same thing. It's quite fascinating, you know, watching the media try to do this from the very beginning. I played you the Jimmy Kimmel bite. Video games are being blamed as well. Hans Menke is with us this afternoon to talk about some of this stuff. He is an in-house counsel at the global business industry firm, author of Swift Boating America, exposing the Russiagate fraud from the Steele dossier to the FBI's Crossfire Hurricane investigation. Hans, thanks for coming on here and joining us on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
It'd be one thing to maybe carry on with this this narrative about the motive, you know, up until midday yesterday. But I think we got some pretty strong confirmation about the motive during the reading of the text message exchanges yesterday, didn't we?
We did. And on top of that, we also have the criminal complaint where the father is cited and various other people. And over, and as you say, the text messages are absolutely unambiguous. It's about hate. He claims, Robinson claims, that Charlie was full of hatred. And verbatim, he said, some hate can't be negotiated out. So he basically is saying, this guy is so hateful, someone has to do something about it. The father confirmed it. You know, over and over, this is about the picture that was painted of Charlie Kirk, a totally false picture, but a very pervasive picture. I mean, all the media, everyone was piling on, even before the assassination. And as you say, you know, sadly, they continued after.
So get into the, you know, because a lot has been said, and I'm going to be honest with you, this whole video game culture thing, I do not understand. But there are some things that I think were etched on the bullets and things that did relate to his, you know, I don't even know what you call it, you know, dark hole, deep fascination with this subculture in the video game world. So what is there to that? And I know that you mentioned in the column that you wrote about this is that, you know, there have been people out there, including the governor of Utah, who have blamed radicalization through video games and Reddit, etc.
Yeah, that's right. Now, when I heard that on Sunday, you know, that really bothered me. And, you know, that's how sort of the column happened. Now, the bullet casings have different etchings. So one is Helldivers 2, which is a video game. Another one is sort of Arrows, which has something to do with Antifa. Another one is this furry stuff, which apparently has to do with transgenderism. I've never come across that. So I don't think we can put too much into that. It's certainly kind of all over the map, but obviously all kind of in the more leftist direction. But they did pick up on this video game thing and say, oh, you know, the video games caused it. You know, I'm old enough to know how this is. This has been around for, 30, 40 years? You all remember Tipper Gore going on and on about the evils of you know, song lyrics and video games?
I remember that, yeah.
It just feels like such a lame excuse because it doesn't mean anything. You know, it's just it's so broad. You know, we got hundreds of millions of people playing video games who don't go and shoot anyone. You know, it's just an excuse. When the real problem is obviously how they painted this guy, how this guy was portrayed in the media, Charlie Kirk. Half the country thought this is some, you know, right-wing extremist, some absolutely horrible person who said all these horrible things. And that's the other thing. I kind of feel guilty, I got to tell you, you know, because they threw out so much horrible stuff about him after he was murdered, about wanting to stone gays and not flying with black pilots and all this kind of rubbish. I have to admit, I had to check, and I feel really guilty about that. I knew he never said it, but I just felt it was everywhere, and they were just saying it so much. I was like, okay, let me check. So, you know, I checked, and obviously he hadn't said anything like that. In fact, and this is something that I think people really need to take in, which is so extraordinary. This guy was on TV or on YouTube or on whatever, like 3-4 hours a day. He was constantly in the media. There are thousands and thousands of hours of Charlie talking about anything and everything in all kinds of settings. And no one has found a single clip.
Yeah, this is, such a great point. This is such a great point because I thought about this yesterday. I'm so glad you brought it up. If a lot of these things were true, they would be playing these over and over and over and over again on The View, on CNN, on MSNBC. They haven't done that. And, you know, you had this columnist at The Washington Post, Karen Atiyah, who was fired because she said inappropriate things. She wants to blame, you know, everyone but herself. But the problem is she misrepresented. There's this quote out there about black women being, you know, not as smart as white women. He was specifically referring to different black women like Ketanji Brown Jackson and others. And he wasn't talking about all black women, but it didn't matter, right? They took that quote out of context. I know in your column, I did this yesterday too. It's not unlike the Trump line with very fine people that was completely taken out of context. And we know what happens, Hans, with that. Once they run with that narrative, they don't back off, right? Even though it's clearly false, it doesn't matter. People like Jimmy Kimmel, et cetera, they're going to run with the original narrative because they know that they control most of the narrative anyway.
And they're still doing it now. And that's the grotesque part. I mean, we've almost gotten used to the fact that everyone's, you know, Hitler, everyone's a Nazi. I mean, it's been going on for, what, 8-10 years? I mean, basically ever since Trump showed up. We're almost blunted to that. But, you know, unfortunately, it has a huge effect on these kinds of people who actually believe this stuff, of which, you know, there are many. And this one guy decided he was going to act on it. And you're so right that the fact that they continued it after it happened is just beyond grotesque. And what it tells me is that they're trying to, they know they played a role in seeding all this hatred. And now they're trying to deflect from it by, you know, blaming other things and doubling down on their lies.
A lot of people on the right have said that, you know, this, I've admitted this, I've seen other people admit this too. I think I underestimated Charlie Kirk's, you know, impact on young people in particular. But a lot of people have reflected, say this feels different, like a different moment. I think a lot of people said that during, you know, the assassination attempt last July. Is it a different moment, and will anything different happen, you know, as a result? I'm worried about more political violence. I think we have every justification to be worried that it's going to happen again.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think Dick Durbin is the only Democrat so far who has said, you know, we, meaning his side, needs to, you know, stop calling people Hitler. No one else has said that. Well, maybe Bill Maher has said it as well. But, you know, it's just kind of few and far between. But that really has to stop. I don't know if it will, but it's a societal thing. You got to call people out on it. You got to call out your friends. You got to call out colleagues. You just got to say, no, not Hitler. Hitler burned people in ovens, industrial ovens that were specifically made for that purpose. There's no justification for comparing anyone to that. That's just a completely different thing. So you can disagree, you can call people names, whatever, but that one is just is so evil. And unfortunately, in my view, it's to blame in large part for what's happened here, because a lot of people actually believe this stuff. And of course, you know, we all saw the movie, you know, with Tom Cruise, Stauffenberg, you know, where a guy tried to kill Hitler and that was great. And, you know, he didn't succeed. And people think, well, maybe we got to kill Hitler. You know, that's sort of the problem. You just can't do it. It needs to become a sort of a societal taboo to just call someone Hitler.
It should be. And why it's not is just baffling to me, because on both sides, you know, you hear some of this. I'm not talking about this incident, but, you know, the right has sometimes used the Hitler analogies too. And I hate it every time. I have some great, I'm going to let you go here, Hans. Thank you so much. I have some great audio from actor Zachary Levi, who's been one of the, you know, braver folks from Hollywood to speak out on these things. And he makes that very point about Hitler. But I appreciate you writing about this in The Federalist. Thanks for coming on 97.1 FM Talk in St. Louis.
Thanks so much.
All right, take care. Zachary Levi has been impressive because he's not the biggest name in Hollywood, that's for sure, but he's been brave in a way that most of them are not.
When you have a media, legacy media apparatus, and not even just the legacy media, but lots of people, you know, voices on X or Instagram or, you know, the new modalities of the media, when they are constantly programming people to believe that Donald Trump is the new Hitler, and anyone who sides with or votes for the new Hitler is a Nazi, and they are the evil in the world, and they must be stopped. That is what desensitizes everyone and activates them. to then go take matters into their own hands. They think that they're being a hero. They don't think they're being callous. They think that they're doing away with someone who was actually evil instead of recognizing that if they were able to become so callous.
He's exactly right about that. There's no doubt about it. And he talked about what Charlie Kirk did for this country.
No, I don't agree with everything Charlie said. I don't agree with necessarily how he said everything, but I took the time to recognize what he was trying to say, what he was trying to do, and what I think he was very effective in doing 90% of the time, which was trying to engage people on the other side of the ideological divide and say, let's talk about this. Let's debate. Right now, unfortunately, a lot of people would step up to that microphone thinking that they had thought through their opinions more.
Yes.
And then they didn't. And so they found themselves in what felt like a gotcha moment. They felt embarrassed. They felt shamed. And then that gets transposed onto Charlie. Oh, look at this bully. Look at this guy who's going to college campuses who clearly knows more. And he's just trying to get people in these gotcha moments. But that's not what Charlie was trying to do.
Boy.
Right.
No.
And so what that does is that just it activates this side more and more to dehumanize Charlie, to dehumanize me, you, anyone else.
Yeah, well stated. Zachary Levi did a great job with that. Well, we have a Wednesday edition of Sue's News coming up here in the 4 o'clock hour. There is a news anchor, I guess she's a former television news anchor from Springfield, Illinois. Her name is Benny Ray Harmony, who went on her show on Friday night and she was wrapping it up. I guess it was a show called Marketplace, which is about some of the things that happened in the Springfield area. And she does a tribute to Charlie Kirk because she met Charlie Kirk when she was 18 years old and in Arizona. She was going, I think, to the University of Arizona, and she worked at Turning Point USA. And she got very emotional. So she does what she does. I'm going to play you a little bit of this, and she posts some of it to her personal, you know, social media accounts. Supervisor at the station, I guess the news director, says you need to take him down. She refused. She was warned that there could be consequences. So she gets back to the newsroom on Monday, and she's told that she's off the air and could be terminated. So she claims, she said, I said, you're telling me I'll be fired for paying a tribute to someone I knew and someone I was grieving. Well, I'm not going to stick around for that. And then she quit. So the resignation has gone quite viral. The television station says News Channel 20 has not fired or suspended anyone in the last 90 days, which, you know, might be true, but she quit, so you won't really know. But it was let me see if I can find the audio here, because it was pretty compelling. And she, truth be told, was going to join us here this afternoon, but unfortunately there is a lot of demand for this. So my guess is she's going to be on one of the Fox shows or something like that. Which one was that, Ethan? I can't remember where it was. Here it is. Springfield Reporter. All right, sure. Here's what she said on Friday. Thank you, Ethan.
Pay attention, Spirit 1300, turn 20 degrees right. Here at 1300.
That is not her. That's actually a Spirit plane getting too close to Air Force One, which is a story in and of itself. Very fascinating. Here she is.
I want to talk about something for a minute, and it is heavy, so please bear with me. I want you to know that it's okay if you feel sadness. It's okay if you feel, if you're grieving. 2 days ago, I lost a mentor, my first boss, the first person who made me believe in myself, that encouraged me to chase this dream that you're watching right now. Charlie Kirk. There's a lot going on in our world right now, in our country, but I want to say one thing. Lean on your neighbors. Speak up for what you believe in. I don't care what it is. I want to share with you one of my favorite sayings that Charlie would always tell us at the office. He would yell it from the mountaintops, so please listen. When conversations stop happening, when individuals become wordless, that's when violence begins. So, if you do one thing today, make it be with passion, with conviction. Stand up for your friends, stand up for your beliefs, and speak loudly, even if your voice shakes. Your words have meaning, your values have purpose. Never forget that. Thank you, CK. Changed my life.
So again, she wasn't fired for that. She was warned that she needed to take the content down. The tribute was inappropriate from her social media as well. She refused to do that. She gets in to the newsroom on Monday. They are threatening a suspension. She says, no, I'm not going to have any of it. I'm going to quit. So that has gone viral. If there is another side to that story, we have not heard it yet, but I thought that was fascinating. Sue's News coming up after Fox.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.